I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Moin. And welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the number one sports podcast on the Black Guy Who Tips premium network. Of course, I never do this show alone. I am joined by my host to my left and my right. I can never, ever do Balls Deep without the homie, Jay Trio. What's up, Jay?
Konnichiwa, my Negro.
Moin. So, first of all, man, how's everything going with you, man? It's been a week since we did the Balls Deep, man.
Everything's been good. You know, nursing the sore, injured shoulder. So, you know, I hadn't been at the gym. But other than that.
Yeah, I hurt my foot, man. Ironically, like the day after we talked, I hurt my foot. So, but it's back normal, man. I've been icing it, you know. So I'm ready to get back on that court as soon as I can. So
that's part of the problem. I haven't been, no icy hot, no nothing.
Yeah, I had to swallow my pride, dog. We also have a person that's very rarely on Balls Deep because she's normally at the office when we start recording this show. Mm-hmm. But it is Karen. What's going on?
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Look at you all fancy.
I know everybody's saying hello in different language. I want to be different too.
I mean, but you came with the Espanol just because you feel familiar with the Hispanic population down here in Charlotte.
Muy mal, y tú.
Muy bien, muy bien.
Okay.
Come on.
Donde es la biblioteca?
La biblioteca es South Boulevard.
I feel like that's not all Spanish. Anyway.
Where is the library?
I told him the library is on South Boulevard.
Karen, how you doing? You ready to go balls deep on some sports?
I is. Well, I am glad to be here.
Can't go balls deep without the song first.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about
balls deep.
I'm talking dry hump for positive traits. Give a pound
into her feelings. Make her mouth now salivate. Are you listening?
Hey,
not talking, just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day.
Man, just say you're welcome
today.
Just say you're welcome.
Sorry to hear that.
Where was I?
Fucking up the song.
You're talking about
balls deep.
We're talking about balls
deep
in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love.
Tyra, that was just for you.
So let's get balls deep. First things first, the racists have struck again.
They have.
Say it ain't so.
They went and found Jackie Robinson's tattoo. Statue.
I'm about to say tattoo? On who?
They went and found his statue. And they spray painted swastikas on it. Some stuff about niggers. Just disrespectful, man. I guess they're able to get the paint off and stuff or some of it, but it's just kind of like, really, dog? Like, you want to take a hate crime just so you can fucking make a statement on a Jackie Robinson statue? Like, this is really not helping. You know, I don't get it. Why do the extra time for this shit? Like, who had the inclination and the time on their hands? And also, like, they don't have this statue under surveillance or whatever. Like, I understand there's video surveillance outside the ballpark, so.
Oh, so this was inside the ballpark.
Yeah.
Which ballpark?
Let's see. I think it's Brooklyn. Yeah. It was Brooklyn, actually.
Okay.
Cause, you know, he played for Brooklyn Dodgers at the time. Yeah, they found, swastikas and racial and anti-Semitic. What this got to do with Jews?
Man, they ain't like nobody.
Hate is hate.
Yeah, I know Jewish people is like, how we get in this?
Yeah.
Like, this ain't got nothing to do with us.
At all.
You know, the thing is
I'm over here eating my matzo balls.
Maybe my hate a little different, but if I hate you or what you stand for, I don't have time to even come bother you to spray paint whatever you something that's honoring you. Like, I don't got time for you.
I hate it.
Yeah. I hate you so much. I don't want to come near anything that you represent.
That's exactly how my hate works too. Like, I don't have time for the bullshit, man. Mm-hmm. Like, if I hate you, all right, you know, I'm out. I don't have time to harass you all day and follow you around. Like, I'm not going.
I got too much shit to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to any statues to disrespect you. I hate you, so I'm not going to talk about you.
I'm not going to follow you on Twitter just so I can say something smart, sarcastic.
Yeah, follow your Instagram.
Everything you say. You know what I mean? Like, everything you tweet. Oh, I got a comment for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention you.
Yeah. You don't exist to me.
I feel like this went to a whole different conversation. But, yeah. I don't understand. Like, that's the thing that always gets me is the idea of this person buying spray cans of paint with this in mind. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, man, I just hate Jackie Robinson so much. That'll be $9.95. Beep. Put my pin code in.
Well, speaking of going in another direction, though, if you did hate someone that much, what would you put on their statue?
I think clearly you got to go with a penis. Like, you want to go with the most disrespectful thing. And I don't think nigger is that disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Because Jackie Robinson got called nigger 70 million times throughout his life.
Be creative, people. Yeah.
He thought it was his middle name.
Like, Jackie Robinson had so much racism in the league, he probably answers to nigger. You know what I mean? Like, to this day, like, if he, like, as a ghost, if you say nigger, Jackie Robinson be in heaven, like, huh? Oh, shit, that wasn't for me. My bad.
I would do my racism and hate towards someone a little different. I would spray paint on them the ugly truths about themselves.
Well, what's the ugly truth about Jackie Robinson?
Right. Well, he didn't have any, so I couldn't hate on him.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe like Christopher Columbus. You know, like, I would put "you didn't discover America" on him.
Right. What about Amerigo Vespucci?
You know, I would spray paint the ugly truth. Like on, you know, Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, I mean, technically you didn't free us. You still had slaves, dog.
Yeah, I just don't see what the point of being racist against Jackie Robinson, because there's nothing that can happen now that will be more racist than when he was playing. Like, when he was playing, his life was basically the YouTube comment section.
Yeah.
Like, that was that was his actual life, was just that. Just going to work. Nigger! Fuck you, nigger. Nigger faggot. Nigger suck my dick, nigger.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill you, nigger. Nigger, you're dead, nigger. It's like nigger probably rolls off his back, man. He's like, whatever, man. I had to deal with this just on my way to get something to eat.
Now say something about his mom or you got a different discussion.
Right. Yeah. Like, you say something about his wife, he probably fuck you up.
He probably would. Me, I'm cool. Huh? We got issues. Like, I would just write something like cunt, something that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something that don't matter.
Look at you and your little penis.
Right.
Whoa, wait, what? My
like,
who?
I wouldn't, if I was vandalizing his statue, I wouldn't put anything racist. I just put stuff like, wasn't even that good.
You know,
or overrated. I put overrated.
You know, if they was Caucasian, I would just draw a mustache and a beard on them. They hate those.
They do.
Mario jumped better.
Speaking of overrated, Terrell Owens is talking to, quote unquote, a bunch of teams, according to his agent.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that feel like the dude that never gets any pussy that always leaves the club talking about, I got a bunch of numbers? Like, word, let me see him. Nah, man, I don't kiss and tell. You know, I'm a gentleman. I get all the hoes, but I'm a gentleman. I'll tell you that I get all the hoes, but you will never see me with any. That's how I feel.
Didn't T.O. really make more money doing TV? Why didn't he? Like, VH1 could use him right now. This is their down season.
Well, last time he was on TV, he was crying about being broke. I don't think you can keep doing TV after that.
Mm-mm. But they loved it. The ratings on that final episode.
I wonder what was his life like after crying?
Flavor Flav had 4 seasons of Flavor of Love. He can't get 1 season or something?
Yeah. He wasn't crying, though. You know,
this is true. Flavor was out here. He got him a big white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Big Amazon.
He was not like, and we knew Flavor was broke, and he never broke down and start crying about it.
Ain't that the truth?
T.O. cried in like the opening episode of his second season. Everybody
with
like,
them two chicks that was blocking everybody.
Yeah, everybody changed the channel so quick. Like, yeah, I don't care. But all right, then T.O. So yeah, and plus, I mean, you know, he can't go and do regular TV because he talked too much shit. This is why.
Yep, he burnt them bridges.
People always give props to the dudes that talk all the shit during their playing career
because
it's entertaining. And especially black people do that shit where they really be like, yeah, he just telling you like it is because Donovan McNabb is a coon ass sellout. And you're like, all right, that sounds good right now. But Donovan McNabb will be on TV.
Yes, he will.
Because everybody knows he knows how to talk. Yep. T.O. will never be on TV because people are like, man, I can't trust you.
Yeah, Jalen did wait till after he got out the NBA and retired and was on ESPN before he said Grant Hill was a sellout.
Even then, he said, that's what I thought when I was 17.
Yep.
Because he knows how to talk. Now, what he didn't say but was implied is, and I still think that shit, but he knows how to talk, so he'll never admit that.
That's true.
That's the difference. Terrell Owens would be on TV talking about some, yeah, McNabb's still a coon to me. Yeah, Uncle Tom. All right, we'll be right back from this commercial. God damn it.
Mm-mm.
Come back and he don't even be on the show no more.
Oh, no.
But yeah, a bunch of teams, y'all.
They were like, he caught a slight cold.
Let me tell you something.
The Panthers? You think he's coming to the Panthers?
Hell no.
It's already preseason. The time for talk is over.
Yeah.
Everybody on the field. You supposed to be on the field right now. Talk is cheap, literally, in this case. No, you got to make a roster, dude. So, yeah, he said he's been training in Los Angeles and Miami.
Nobody looking at him.
And he's trying to get on a bunch of teams.
A bunch of teams that ain't looking at you.
Poor Terrell. Yeah. Why his mama had to name him Terrell? Terrible. You just terrible.
Right. I feel like maybe,
Terrible Owens.
his middle name is Bo. I feel like Tim Tebow needs to pray for this man.
Uh-oh.
Because Tim Tebow prayed for Riley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already back on the team.
The power of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Thank you!
He said, touch the hem of my robe, and you shall be healed from your racism.
That quick?
Mm-hmm. And Riley Cooper was like...
That, and he whispered in his ear, don't say nigga again out loud. Yeah, fuck wrong with you.
Riley Cooper was like, I don't think these niggers... And then he touched it. He was like, oh my Jesus, I can't believe these African Americans... What did I say?
I'm thinking about adopting me a little African baby. I want to save all of them. I don't want to fight all of them anymore. I just want to save them all.
He said, you know, my other teammates that are black. I said, black. I can do it. Thank you, Tebo. Until now, I can only say the N-word. I said the N-word instead of nigger. Oh, no. I got to go back. I got to touch it one more time.
Tebow like, now go ahead and get me a job up there with the Eagles.
Tim Tebow said, you know, we're friends. Who's a Tebow backup quarterback, for New England Patriots. He said, so hopefully he'll win a championship this year. And then I'm going to talk a lot of shit. We've been close to a long time, so we'll talk. I haven't gotten to see him yet today. I'm sure I'll see him soon, but I was definitely praying for him. And he's talking about basically when they had a scrimmage with the Patriots and the Eagles. Now, here's the funny part of the story, though. Tebow praying for somebody should not be a story. That is a headline on ESPN.
That's right.
Like, a lot of players probably prayed for this dude. Now, most of them probably prayed that he would get injured or die or, you know, something, that his child would be born black. But whatever they prayed for... A ton of them were praying, and nobody covered that story. But Tim Tebow prayers, we all understand, are way more valuable than these other prayers.
They are. I thought you knew.
Man, he sits on the higher throne.
I feel like on the hierarchy of prayers, the number one prayer has to be, of course, Ray Lewis. Because that man...
is a praying man.
That man prayed away... conspiracy to murder charge.
Yes, he did.
Now you can't tell me that ain't powerful.
Yeah, murder, get ye behind me.
Yeah. So
speaking of, I wonder where Ray is at now.
I don't know. somewhere working in America.
He literally retired and disappeared.
Speaking of people that retired and disappeared, but now they back. Vince Young. That's right, y'all. Segways are on point today.
Tennessee. Is he going to Tennessee?
No.
No?
Oh. He's in Green Bay. As a backup quarterback.
To A-Ron?
To Aaron Hernandez. No, I'm just kidding. To Aaron Rodgers. And my boy Derek was like, man, isn't this bad because he's not a locker room guy? He'll disrupt the team. And the thing with Vince Young is this. He's not a bad locker room guy.
No, he's
only
not.
Had a negative impact in the locker room when he was on Tennessee and they started a 75-year-old quarterback ahead of him when he was clearly fucking better than that dude.
Yep.
That's the only time he's ever been a problem. Every other time he's always said the right thing.
And is that a problem or was he talking to the coach? And like, coach, what you doing here?
Right. And the dude, and the thing is, Kerry, whatever his name was going out there and losing games. Losing. Vince Young came in and played and they immediately went on like a 6-game winning streak or some shit.
Yes, they did.
Like, the dude does win. And I do think being the backup quarterback to a quarterback who is meant, who is like a quarterback who is unquestionably the starter, is a good spot for him. Because if Aaron Rodgers does get hurt, you do want a quarterback that can come in and win games. But you just want to make sure that it's not a quarterback that can replace him.
True.
Not very many teams in the NFL have a rock steady starting quarterback like that.
Nope.
Green Bay does. So he's a perfect fit for this team. And he will never think I should start over Aaron Rodgers.
Ain't that the truth?
So you're good. Now, if this shit was like, say, Cleveland, Cincinnati, shit, most of the teams in the NFL couldn't have him as a backup because people would start being like, well, why don't we just put Vince Young in? You know? So yeah, I think this is a great fit, man. And I wish that dude much success. Right now they have him listed as a third in the depth chart, but I have a feeling that it's a soft third, which I mean, like, if Aaron Rodgers got hurt, they would skip over the no name second dude.
Of course.
And go right to Vince Young.
The other thing is, man, he gonna have to suck up taking his backup quarterback money. For 1 year, maybe two.
Oh, he don't mind. He trying to pay off that debt. You think he concerned about that?
And then after that, he'll get that contract for starter money in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take him. Kansas City take all the backup quarterbacks and make them starters.
He said, it's no challenge. I've been through pretty much everything you can think of. I'm just happy. Enjoying this and just happy to be here and being here with some special, special guys. He also says, back in the day, I was young Vince. Now I'm more mature and definitely learning from things that happened in the past. I'm married now. Grown man, 30 years old, kind of like the old head of this locker room. So,
you're old head at 30.
Right. Yeah, football. In the NFL, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Message. I get a chance to be back at home where it all started, Vince said. I just got a chance to be with my family. I've been enjoying life, staying ready. I'm just happy about this opportunity that I got a call to come in to try to reach and finish off my career like I want it to be. So, good for him, man. Like, I have no problems with that. Speaking of not having no problems, LeBron James is mulling over being the union representative for the NBA Players Association. He wants to be the president of the NBAPA. He will clearly be the best ever.
Does it have an extra check?
I don't know. I guess you would get an extra check, but it's probably pocket change to him.
I mean, if it's an extra few million, why not? But other than that, he don't got time for that. He got to work on them post moves.
I think he should take it, if nothing else, just to make him mad.
He's not that great a negotiator.
It don't matter because he'd be more of a figurehead. Just to make people mad. I would be like, you know what? Fuck him. Here's something else to make you angry about.
And you know, I like LeBron. That's my dude. I like him. I support all his championship runs. However, he should have went to Miami and said, yeah, we just going to run with 11 on the squad. We don't need 12.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I got the extra money coming to me. I'm not taking less.
Yeah, I just don't get, like, what's in it for him, really.
That's nothing, really.
Like, it just seemed like extra shit to be doing.
Extra
but,
work.
Yeah, it seemed like way too much work for some bullshit.
Volunteers for extra work.
Yeah, and I know that the thing that got the last union head got out of there was that they figured it was too much nepotism, and so they got upset about that. But that's all LeBron James does is nepotism. Like, he always hooks his boys up with jobs to help him out because he can trust them. So I wonder if that's gonna change. Like, would he now not put his boys in position with the NFL and with the NBAPA, or would he? Because
he's just trying to get to the Players Association so he can get a special headband approved. That's really what it boils down to.
Ah, an official headband.
You want an official koofy?
Yep.
With an NBA logo on
he
it.
He's trying to be able to change the babe to get a special headband approved. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just thought that was, like, interesting, but I don't really care.
It'll have anything to do with him really wanting to represent the players.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be the president of the NBAPA like Jordan is the owner of the Bobcats.
Yeah, just that figurehead.
Yeah, like, he'd just be like, all right, man, somebody handle that for me. I got to actually worry about winning championships.
Yeah.
Plus, man, it feels like the kind of thing that the greats who win championships wouldn't do, but maybe he'll be the first, but... feel like the kind of thing where you're concentrating on winning 6 rings, 8 rings. You just go, I don't have time for this shit.
Yeah, I can't be worried about Birdman and his steroid issues. And should we be appealing this right now?
Mm-hmm. I feel like he would just, like, if you leave it up to LeBron, whenever they have lockouts and shit, he'll be like, nigga, if y'all don't just play, I got to win these rings, man. Stop trying to stop the league.
Yep.
Like, but we're not getting enough money. Man, goddamn, I gave up all my money for y'all. Shit. Now get on the court so I can dunk on you.
We just want 12%, LeBron. That's all we're asking for.
No. Get back on the court and that's an order. I'm siding with the owners.
Even Dan?
All of them.
Even Dan?
Dan Gilbert sitting there like, yes. Yes.
Got my boy back.
All right, man. So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but apparently... Peyton Manning and Eli Manning have a new video. It's for a commercial for football on your phone. I'm gonna put it in the chat and I'm gonna play it for everybody.
Hey, Eli, who are you talking to?
I'm not talking. I'm watching football.
Watching football?
Yeah, with DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket Max, you can watch every game every Sunday afternoon on any device, like your computer, tablet, or phone.
Football? On your phone?
Is Eli Manning's hair racist or no? I'm just asking you.
Yes. I look like a Puerto Rican.
I was really thinking that.
Puerto Rican.
Football on your phone.
What's the video so soon? Where the hell are they?
They got some nice dancers, though.
It's football on your phone, that's what I said.
It's football on your phone, you can watch it in bed.
Take it with you wherever you go.
Oh, Lord. Got the Michael Jackson jacket.
Chance
to have football on your phone and football in your pants.
Look at this guy using his phone as a phone.
Your phone ain't for calling,
your phone's for football. It's
football. Why is that black dude dressed like that?
Why is anyone dressed like anything in this fucking video?
I told you, this is the 1980s.
This is so good.
But they so corny, I'm okay with them looking like that.
Oh, this is so good.
Not the black dude, though.
I feel like Lonely Island wrote this and then gave it to them.
Why didn't the black dude be like, yeah, this wardrobe is not going
to
work?
I don't know if you noticed, but you see how tall these white boys are compared to that black dude?
Yep.
Like, he just said, I wear whatever y'all want, man. Just please don't put me in a dress.
Just put this not realistic fake funny. Like, it would have been more realistic if the dude had on some purple pants or something.
Okay. All right. That's a small critique. I understand.
Ask you a question. What do you get when a football gets down with your phone?
It's football.
That black girl, sexy though. She could eat a little more, but she's sexy.
Football in your phone.
If you're taking out a small loan.
Football in your phone.
When you're sitting on your throne.
Football in your phone.
When your
see, that black dude real.
That black dude was in a construction vest and a construction helmet coming out of a Port-a-John.
With Tim's.
Yeah.
All
so,
realistic.
So somebody thought about your critique and they said, let's put a real black dude here.
Yes.
For Justin.
Yeah,
so
dreads and everything.
You should be good with this now.
On your phone.
It's like I spilled milk all over your blouse by accident or on purpose. It's like the milk is like football and your blouse is the phone.
Oh, Lord! What kind of metaphor is that? Yeah.
Your dad
want it?
Archie Manning really is in this video, dog. Oh,
he looks a hot mess,
looking like Booster Gold and shit.
You know, can I say because I don't think I would ever say this before, but Eli's actually cooler than Peyton, and that's why he has more rings than Peyton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He also has more lines too because he has more rings.
Yeah. What do you think Alexander Graham Bell would say if he saw you watching football on your phone? Who cares? Dude's dead. It's football. Nice.
I like that.
NFL Sunday Ticket.
That's good, right?
It is. And I'm gonna profile them and say all the black people were friends of Eli.
Yeah, because Peyton ain't got no black friends.
Definitely.
Unless he's a lineman or something, an offensive lineman. Even then, it's just a matter of time. Speaking of just a matter of time.
Uh-oh.
Greg Oden finalized his deal with the Heat, so it's just a matter of time till he's out for the season.
Of course.
How many games are we giving Greg Oden? Karen, how many games do you give him this season?
I get less than 15.
All right, what about you?
You talking about games played or games in the season?
Games played.
Oh, first game.
Okay, so one, yeah. One healthy game.
He get one game. After the game, they'll be like, Greg Oden, even though he did finish the game, he's getting the MRI.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him 43 games. I think he's going to get hurt. Somewhere around game 43.
He actually playing 43 games.
I don't even get him that much. No. What's going to happen? He gonna catch a cold, go in. They're going to go in. Be like, you know what? We was checking for a cold, but all of a sudden, we scraped your bone and realized that you ain't got no cartilage.
No, check Rod Cup. He said 43 games. Rod, come on, man.
43
games. He ain't making it that long.
Come on. You think he going to pull some old man tactics and be like.
I feel like the leadership of LeBron James is going to get this man through the season. Playing 43 games. He's going to have to take games off now, but he will get through the entire season.
He getting hurt
games.
The first game.
And then he'll be back in a couple weeks, and then he's going to be hurt a little bit more, like 43 games. I thought about
no.
it.
No. You That's think, half the season.
You think season ending on the first game?
Yes.
Nah, I think
it won't even be his knees. It'll
I
be
get
something.
15 games.
It'll be something else, like his big toe.
Also, I'm counting all the games that he shows up to, even if he's just wearing the suit. That counts as a game played.
Yeah.
No.
We have to make different rules. Okay.
And that, to an extent, I understand. Most times, it's nothing.
If you're giving him different rules, he's showing up in a suit.
I say, listen, the way I look at it, that's 82 games in a season, right?
Mm-hmm.
41 on the home, 41 on the road, right? So I think he plays two games healthy, and then he gets hurt, but he's able to attend home games because the doctor won't clear him for travel. That is exactly 43.
If we're considering that and he getting a Juwan Howard treatment, he can get 60 games.
Okay. All right. Well, you're more with
if
me.
He can get 60 if he can just wear the suit. Plenty of suits.
That means you plan on him getting on a plane a few times. I think he won't be healthy enough.
No, he'll get on a plane. He wants to get on a plane.
I don't think he'll get approval for a plane.
Yeah.
Because he got a 2-year contract, right?
Yeah,
they be like, yo, but his bones can't take the altitude in the air.
It's only a $1 million contract, man.
He needs that $1 million.
That's crazy.
Bro, he needs that million.
To take care of his bones.
He took less. He needed the million, but he took less. He probably discussed playing time with them, all those things. Like, you know, I can only go for 5 minutes a game, right?
Right. It's like me before sex. Listen, okay? This will be over fast. Greg Jennings, speaking of being over with fast, was talking a bunch of shit. He was popping off. And everybody said, how you gonna talk all this shit about Aaron Rodgers? And he said, y'all don't know Aaron Rodgers. I do. And that nigga ain't shit. And they said, oh, so now you on the Vikings. You talking all this shit. And his coach said, stop. Leslie Frazier said, stop making comments about the Packers. But then Greg Jennings said, fuck you, coach. I says what I wants to say.
Wow.
He went on K-Fan Radio and said he was brainwashed when he played for the Packers when it came to how other teams in the NFC North were supposed to be perceived. When asked whether the Vikings have championship qualities, Jennings said, one of the things that drew me to coming over here was the makeup of that team. When I came over here, I was kind of brainwashed. There's no kind of to it. Being over in Green Bay, you're brainwashed to think anyone in the division is tiers below. It's like everything that you know in Green Bay is like the best, the best, the best, the best. It's like a total brainwashing. And I think you don't open your eyes to see what other teams have to offer unless you are in that position. I was afforded that position. So, you know, I think he's right, man. I don't know why people find this so revolutionary, but Green Bay is a little small ass cult of a town that loves football.
They love football out there. People wait like years and years and years to get like season tickets, yeah, and people die and go to their family.
They're key to get them season tickets.
Right. You want the truth? Jenna said. Mike McCarthy, that's the Packers coach. He really is mindful of, this isn't saying Coach Frazier isn't, but McCarthy is one of those guys that he really looks at his team and evaluates, okay, what do we need to cut back today? What do we need to implement today? Because I want a fresh team. I want to get a quality work versus quantity. And that's the biggest difference being a veteran guy and seeing what we are doing. We are pushing through everything, working hard every single day, which is always great to work out. But at the same time, you got to give and take a little bit. Which sounds like he was complaining about how hard the Vikings are working him.
So. Sound like complaining about practice?
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? People were like, man, who is he to come at Aaron Rodgers? People do realize that Jermichael Finley had problems with Aaron Rodgers last year. Now Greg Jennings had problems. I'm just saying, dog, Aaron Rodgers might be an asshole.
I mean, look at who he hang out with, people like Bron.
Right. Are we sure? I mean, he betting year's salary on people that are pure D losers that cheated the sport. I don't know that we can put this dude on the pedestal.
Yeah, but I don't know if you still can't be mad at the entire organization for wanting you to feel like over here everything is the best, though.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
You know, I think he kind of got his opinion skewed a little bit.
Maybe it sounds like a brother that didn't get the money he thought he was going to get because of loyalty, and now he mad. That's how it sounds to me.
Mm-hmm. He forgot the NFL of business.
Yeah, should have left earlier. If you had a problem, should have left earlier.
Yeah, it is a business, and the one thing about a business is that the company owes you nothing, and a lot of people have a tendency to forget that. Like, you are your own entity. You are your own business, and at any time, they can be like, holla. And just like his boss told him to shut up, we're going to see how far this is going to go if he keeps talking.
Yeah, speaking of keeping talking, Wes Welker said he put up with Bill Belichick and that he's hard to work with. Next story. North Carolina suspended P.J. Harrison indefinitely after he got another ticket, this time for speeding, doing 93 and a 65. Clearly, this dude was on the double secret probation after getting off for that drug shit. I mean, drug and a gun. He thought he was untouchable.
Yep. I would too, though.
Like, he was driving through town like Buns and Belly.
Fuck these faggot cops.
Yeah.
Running stop signs, stop right. Light. Faggot cops can't touch me.
Yeah.
Well, technically they could. Cause you
don't
like
read.
It.
You don't read books? Never, motherfucker! That shit. When's the last time you read a book? Never, motherfucker. That's how PJ was driving through town, speeding and shit with Kane walking out there talking about
homosexuals and shit.
Yeah,
he was flying down 85 South. Yeah, they caught him
with Kane from Menace walking out there talking about some. I don't like that shit. I had to drop a dime on that nigga.
Out on Franklin Street.
Yeah, with an NC State jersey on. I don't like that.
No, he had Duke on. NC State cool up there.
Nah, NC State brought this dude to his knees, man. Like, that's the thing, man. Fuck with NC State if y'all want to. They get on the message boards and they become some detectives. They caught this nigga. They caught him the first time and the second time.
I mean, they will put your business out
there. They will put your business out there, dude. I don't know how these kids aren't all in jail. They be on it, dude. You go on that damn, that wolfpack.com. They be on there. Like, yeah, you know he jacked off 3 times today. Some of it was to some freaky Japanese tentacle porn. Anyway, just reporting in.
Yo, low key, NC State, them kids at NC State, they go to Carolina all the time and deface property.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, spray paint and shit.
Yep. I'm just saying, these kids better be careful out here with these message boards. It's not a game no more.
Mm-mm.
They be knowing everything. Like, the team be like, he was suspended for team reasons. They be like, he was smoking weed in the bathroom. Got caught with a white girl, too. Like, how did you know that?
It's all facts.
Right. Facts only, people.
Hey, they do know he does carry weapons, though, so you're right.
They knew. They be the ones telling you all the, like, half of this shit don't even be in a police report. They be like, yeah, he had 3 friends. It was Jamario Slittle. He likes to play Madden with him.
It was his boy, Ray Ray. Right. Long time friend since high school.
He's the weed guy.
But you know what this really says, though? There's an informant on the Carolina campus.
I don't know how they do it, but I believe it.
They got a mole on campus.
I believe anything. It might be a player at this point. Shit, it might be Roy at this point. I don't know. You can't trust nobody.
They got Roy. Oh,
they be finding out all our shit, dude. When that football scandal came up, them niggas knew grades.
They started the investigation.
Right.
They contacted the NCAA. Like, hey, we're putting this on our message board. We're giving you the opportunity to check it out first.
Come ahead, get it if you want it.
They be like, we already created your login. It's just NCAA. The password is NCAA.
But this will be on our message board at 2:01 p.m.
Dude, they were actually like people was like, well, I don't see what the problem is. It was like, oh, just go to the website. Yeah, we'll tell you.
All the facts are there.
Yeah, Sherry Stewart was the one who was tutoring him. Now, if you can see right here on our tutoring chart, she was supposed to show up Thursday from 3 to 4. But she let him go at 3:30. Now, how could you study for an algebra test at 3:30 when you missed all the classes? Clearly, that's cheating. I'm like, damn.
And she's not even a registered tutor.
Right.
With a GPA of 2.5.
Right.
She just came off of eligibility probation.
She bought him
academic probation.
She bought him some McDonald's, and then she let him keep the change. Now, that's a clear violation of NCAA bylaws. I'm like, God damn, y'all good. I wish we cared enough.
The NCAA looking at the books like,
North Carolina
rule?
Don't care enough.
That's the problem with Carolina is they don't care enough to get back. Like, our message board just be like, man, fuck them niggas, man. But it don't be no like, man, I saw Julius Hodge smoking weed. We be like, oh, that's cool. He was smoking weed, man. Hopefully he be high during the game.
Oh, he was. Oh, he was. You ever see him at the games now?
Yeah, I see him.
Looking high.
he be looking high.
Like he, since he can't get weed at the game, he was like, shit, I got this black. I'm about to step out.
Speaking about to step out, appeals court sides with college athletes in a suit over licensing rights on video games.
Nice.
And I agree.
Get that money, O'Bannon brothers. Get that money.
My boy Derek was saying, he makes a valid point, but it doesn't matter. He was like, it's fucked up that video games going to be the thing that probably brings the NCAA down, because kids actually love being in the video games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the one thing that they do love about being a college athlete is their likenesses being used in these games.
Y'all got to pay them, though, dog.
But the thing I was saying was, it's the most direct route to the NCAA and video game retailers making money off the likenesses of these kids. Mm-hmm. Without giving them anything in return, it's the most direct involvement. It's the most complicit, because literally they try to lie like it's not. Like, it would actually have been better if from the jump they just put people's names and likenesses in there and said it was cool. But they had that clause where it's like, all likenesses in this game are coincidental and blah, blah, blah. And then you put in a code and it's like, Tyler Hansbrough passes the ball over to, you're like, wait a minute. Why can the computer say Ty Lawson?
They say, oh, Benin.
Right.
Oh, Benin.
Right.
Oh, Benin. I guarantee you he got that year that when he was on the game too.
Mm-hmm.
When it was him and his brother was at
UCLA.
Yeah,
it's probably framed. It's probably when he got the idea to sue the motherfuckers.
That year they made that championship run.
He was, you know what? The way I imagine Ed O'Bannon figuring out he was going to sue the NCAA, he was broke. He didn't have anything left. Mm-hmm. He was selling all his shit just to make rent. He was selling his trophies, everything. And then the last thing he was going to sell, somebody came by and they were like, I give you a nickel for this NCAA game. And he was like, but I was in that game.
It's the 98.
He's like, you see right there, it says $10. I give you a nickel. And he was like,
that kid strong arming him.
He was like, all right, man. And then the dude, after he bought it for a nickel, he turned to him and said, you know, if you made a nickel off of each one of these sold, you'd be rich right now. You wouldn't have to sell any of this shit. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, and then he started suing the NCAA, man. That's exactly how I feel like it happened, dude. He realized at that moment, like, I should be suing these motherfuckers. So that's what I think happened. Electronic Arts is the main, you know, defendant in this shit.
EA Sports. EA Sports for some of y'all.
Yeah, EA Sports.
EA Sports.
A divided U.S. federal appeals court ruled against Electronic Arts in a lawsuit by former collegiate athletes who accused the company of using their images and video games without permission. By a 2-1 vote, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said EA's use of likenesses of former college players in its NCAA football and NCAA basketball games did not deserve protection as a free expression under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Nope.
Mm-mm. The athletes, including one-time Arizona State University quarterback Sam Keller, claimed that EA had misappropriated their identities and likenesses without compensation. Electronic Arts said it pledged the appeal. So I wonder how long it's going to take until this suit is done. It'll probably be 50.
Yeah, it'll probably take years. The fucked up part about it is that they should get paid. And maybe this is the problem I have with the NCAA. The rules that they place on football and basketball, which is predominantly black, are not the same rules they place on golf, they place on tennis, they place on baseball, they place on badminton and all these other sports. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that I have with it. They ought to get played because you take my likeness and you sell it and make millions. Take my jersey and sell it and make millions. And I don't make a dime off of it. Mm-mm.
Speaking of not making a dime, Tony Stewart got in a crash and broke his leg in two places.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this nigga.
Smart. It wasn't even official NASCAR.
Yep. No.
Dummy.
They do this all. Roger said they do this all the time. And I'm like, why?
Yep. Practice?
Practice for what? This is not a race car. I mean, it's a race car, but it's not like NASCAR.
Still practice. You got to practice cutting curves.
Practice corners. Crashing and breaking bones.
Corners.
I mean, the reason he did it is because he's a NASCAR driver. I mean,
they like racing.
They thrill seekers. They do this shit for a living. And this is what happens sometimes. It's funny that he's one of the ones that got caught up because he's one of the people that causes the most wrecks over his career. So it's kind of funny that he ended up breaking his own shit. Like, I'm sure other drivers got a little chuckle out of that.
Yeah, he really is like the Ricky Bobby of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. I wake up, I just want to go fast.
Yep. If you ain't winning, you're losing.
Yep.
And the thing is, he wasn't even like, he was in the chase.
Yeah, he had an opportunity to actually win.
Like, he was one of the top 10 drivers at this moment, but now it's like, he about to miss a bunch of races and probably not be. So he gonna probably miss the chase because of this shit.
And that's my, and like I said, maybe because I'm not really a racing fan like this, but I don't understand when you do this, you sponsors, you know, you got a whole team of people that's not working now. And so it's like, you breaking your leg affect more than just you.
You know, the thing is, why didn't he just get the, just like on your car with the cruise control, you hit the button in the car, accelerate and decelerate. Like, just,
yeah, yeah, I don't think it went like that.
Just get the buttons. I mean, you can still change gears with his hands. I mean, it's a stick shift, so you can change gears. You don't have to. Right. It's his leg that's not working. Not his arms and hands. I mean, I'd figure it out. I'd get my money.
Right. Depends on which leg.
I'm going to get that boy.
I feel like a real athlete would, but.
I mean, look at Kobe.
But he's a NASCAR driver. ESPN had a fight.
Okay.
Speaking of driving, Hugh Douglas was driving people up the wall.
Uh-oh.
Wonder what happened with Hugh.
Well, you know, if you've been watching Numbers Never Lie, he hasn't been on there for the last few days.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Week.
Mm-hmm. Last Thursday, at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention and Career Fair, or as Riley Cooper calls it, the nigger writers.
Oh, Lord.
Hugh Douglas, the former Eagle and current NFL analyst for ESPN, was very drunk. A day later, he would both be drunk and combative. And as the big lead first reported, he and an ESPN colleague would nearly come to blows. But what went down on Friday had its roots in what happened on Thursday.
He tried to hit Jamil.
Douglas was at Gaylord Palms Resort Motel or Hotel, along with his Numbers Never Lie co-host Michael Smith and Jamil Hill. Smith and Hill were speaking to hundreds of conventioners. Both print journalists, Smith and Hill, mm-hmm. have been buddies for a while. They started doing a podcast a few months ago, his and hers.
Yes.
Podcast. In addition to the ESPN show. Numbers Never Lie. And they were explaining to potential ESPN job recruits how it came to be. Just as they were wrapping up, Douglas approached them. Two people told us that Douglas was drunk, not tipsy, wasted. We've also been told that Douglas has felt uncomfortable ever since Hill's addition to the show a few months back. Smith and Hill, after all, are old friends. And the show now has two journalists plus an ex-jock, with some loose talk that new hire Nate Silver might have some role on the show too. A source speculates that Douglas, outnumbered by non-jocks, felt left out. And a couple of people hit me up on Twitter when I was talking about this and said that he basically had been struggling too once Jamel got there, because it was like real numbers oriented and he wasn't really grasping the numbers as well as they were. So
I felt like it was her insults with movie quotes that was really getting to him. Because, you know, Jamil, you know, her sarcasm is on another level. Mm-hmm. And she'll hit you with a movie quote and Michael Smith might get it, but Hugh won't. And I feel like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they've known each other for a while. So it's like he's looking like, okay, I feel left out.
See, Jalen used to hit him with a rap verse and Hugh could keep up with the rap verses. Mm-hmm. But the movie quotes, he wouldn't get it.
Well, as Hill was about to finish speaking to the group of 100+, Douglas came up to her and he demanded the microphone, even though he wasn't scheduled to speak at the event. He might have been slurring and he was certainly talking loud enough for others to hear it. Hill said, no thanks. She apparently had to make some effort to keep the microphone out of his hands.
Yeah, because she was like, whatever you're about to say, it ain't about to end well.
Douglas was not happy, and neither were Hill and Smith. This was embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah, what did he want the microphone for?
And you talking in front of recruits and shit? Come on.
Also, like, what did the footage of her? I want to see video of her face. Not her face. I want to see video of her trying to pull that mic away from that big-ass motherfucker's hands. Like, how did he not get that mic?
But you know women, man.
She was like, you is not getting this goddamn mic.
Like, it's, yeah, like women get strength from, they have babies. They get strength from out of nowhere. You know, you and I might size somebody up and be like, that's a big ass dude. I'm gonna let him get this mic. Mm-hmm. A woman would be like, you ain't getting this motherfucking mic. I dare you to put hands on me. I will fuck you up, motherfucker. Them other niggas might be scared of you, but I ain't scared of you. You saw Friday.
Well, Jamel,
mean that shit.
I won't say that's what happened, but I will say Jamel Hill is from Detroit.
And then she hit him with a movie quote.
She probably did.
And that was just the start of the meltdown. Yeah, what movie quote do you think she used?
I don't know.
I'm gonna say Smokey from Friday. You didn't put in on this, man.
Yeah, she definitely hit him with that.
Yeah. And that was just the start of the meltdown. The next night, there was a party at the club, House of Blues in Orlando. Douglas was again very drunk. Lots of people were drinking. So this was less of a big deal. But then he started making some movements towards the stage at the club. ESPN has had experience with drunk commentators doing regrettable things in public, as with Dana Jacobson in 2008.
Where? That's why she got kicked off the show?
Yeah, she got fucked up, man. She was like chugging gin straight out the bottle and shit. Crazy. Things seemed to be headed in that direction. One person told us that Smith, who wasn't drinking, told Douglas not to go up. It would be a mistake. Douglas apparently wasn't in the state to be reasoned with. He didn't go up there, but a few minutes later, Douglas was angry enough to finally tell Smith off. Now, see, this is the thing about that, too. As a grown-ass man, he probably was tired. Like he's like, y'all been kikiing. Y'all, I see what y'all do on the set. Y'all icing me out. Y'all freezing me out. Doing your little cute little movie quotes, knowing I don't be watching movies like that. You got your little numbers up and shit. You know, I don't fuck with numbers like that. And now you telling me I'm not the one that should get on stage. You got on stage. She got on stage. Why the fuck I can't get on stage?
You weren't scheduled.
But he don't give a fuck, right?
Okay. I'm not
saying he's right, but that's
okay.
This is purely his ego.
His mind, yeah.
Yeah.
He not saying thanks for actually hooking me up with a job, Michael Smith.
Nobody knew me.
When nobody wanted to take a chance on me, when people thought I was a loose cannon that got in fights in the Eagles locker room. Thank you so much. You know, he wasn't thinking that. What he was thinking was this. Uncle Tom. That's what Douglas told Smith, according to two people familiar with the altercation. Smith apparently did his best to ignore this. Shortly thereafter, Douglas had more words to say to Smith. He grabbed him by his arm and threatened to beat him up. Some people, including security, had to break it up. ESPN has said it's looking into the matter. Douglas wasn't on the show yesterday, won't be on again today.
Mm-mm.
And this and
might not be on Never 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 again.
when it airs at 2 p.m. I just can't comment on this, Douglas said when we reached him by phone. No comment.
I wonder how many calls he hit ignore till he finally answered.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
You mean tell me
I'm sure he was avoiding phone calls.
And maybe this is just me. You mean tell me he couldn't talk to them about this? He had to make a scene?
Yeah, that also sounds like something that he been thinking about for a while.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because you don't act out like this over something that happened yesterday. It's like, not one time you could have sat down and talked and be like, how can I, you know, add more to the show or something.
That's how you know all them times he really got loud with Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. He really meant it. It wasn't just like he was hyped about the topic.
Yeah.
He really was one step away from hitting your boy.
And it's messed up, too, because it kind of sets athletes back when it comes to getting jobs at these studios and shit. Like, this is unacceptable behavior, man. Can't be getting drunk and trying to fight, man.
Who can he work? First of all, he's not going to get his own show. And who going to want to work with him now?
Nobody.
Like, he'll have to beg Mike Smith to be like, man, you know what? I fucked up. Let me get back on the show.
Oh.
Or some guest appearances. And Mike will have to be like, yes or no.
Like, and that's another thing, too, man.
I wouldn't want to deal with that.
Not to get too deep, but it's another reason that I don't really fuck with a lot of the shows on ESPN. Because sometimes they it's like they hype these dudes up and make them argumentative. And the whole point of the show is like getting into a fight. Like somebody in the chat said, basically dude was like, Michael Smith was going in on Hugh Douglas wearing the same suit the week before this.
On live? They was live?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And the thing is, man, like it's supposed to be a sports show.
Yeah.
Like, we're not supposed to be talking about each other's suits and shit like that. We're not supposed to, but it's not exclusive to Numbers Never Lie. I mean, they actually, you know, are just a cool show, but it's just this idea of like part of the show is I'm a call Stephen A. Smith's hairline out. I'm a say Skip Bayless, you know, I'm a say that he's skinny or some shit. You know, whatever it is, I'm gonna make this joke. And it's like, now y'all want all these shows to be argument and fight shows, but just argue over sports and keep it at that because.
Yeah, you get personal.
Everybody don't play like that.
No, I know I don't.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that would be cool with it. But if on the off chance that somebody really does take this shit to heart, next thing you know, somebody calls somebody Uncle Tom.
So what happened to Jalen? Cause we never talked about, what happened to Jalen. I thought he had left for the playoffs and then he was coming back. After the playoffs, NBA playoffs, but I hadn't seen him since.
I don't know. Something wrong with Jalen? I don't know. I really don't know. You talking about For Numbers Never Lie?
Yep.
I don't know. Doesn't he still have his podcast and work with Grantland and all that shit?
Right. But see, he was still doing all that and still Numbers Never Lie though.
Mm.
And then I thought maybe he took a break because of the NBA playoffs. You know, he was traveling. He was at all the games. And so that's when I knew he was taking a break for that. He had even commented on it. But since the playoffs ended, he's never been back on the show.
I don't know. Maybe Jamel took his spot. Maybe he can come back now. I don't know. They said, someone in the chat said Jalen's only doing NBA and college game day now. So I don't know, man. It's just odd that it's one of those things where it seems like a powder keg anyway, the way they start these, every show gotta be a fight and it's gotta get personal. You know, it's like, that's good TV, but it's, you know, everybody don't play like that.
Mm-mm.
Well, hopefully him and Jamel will be able to work things out and don't have an actual affair.
Speaking of people that play too much.
Okay.
Have y'all heard about the Lions teammates Scheffler and Delmas? I guess in the wake of the Riley Cooper thing, they had to come out and tell everybody that they use racial slurs as terms of endearment.
They didn't have to come out. And I was thinking, why would you make this public?
Right.
Was somebody asking?
Who is this going to benefit either one of y'all by making this public or the team you play for?
Yeah, if anything, this just makes Lewis Delmas look like a sucker to me.
Yep.
Like, oh, you one of those black people? Okay, cool. I guess you real open-minded and everything, but I'm not one. I would just tell that motherfucker not to do that. But Riley Cooper was caught using the N-word at a Kenny Chesney concert, and it led to public apologies. 4 days into counseling and a remorseful return to the Eagles, where because of injuries, he's currently the team's number two wide receiver. But two Lions teammates, who also happen to be close friends, they use racial slurs as a term of endearment. Tight end Tony Scheffler, who is white, and safety Lewis Delmas, who is black, have known each other for 10 years, going back to their time together at Western Michigan University. Scheffler, then a senior, took the freshman Delmas under his wing. Both are now with Detroit, and they remain tight. How tight? Terry Foster, Detroit News, offers a glimpse to the relationship. Hey, cracker, Delmas often says to Scheffler inside the Lions practice facility. How's my nigga? Scheffler responds. Of course, one of those words had a bunch of dashes through it.
No! I told you crackers are delicious.
Which one do y'all think it was?
Crackers.
In almost every walk of life, if two guys of different races had this conversation, a fight would promptly ensue. I don't believe that.
Maybe a verbal fight.
I don't think people like swing all the time. It's as much commentary on the state of race relations as it is on what it means to live in today's politically correct world. But to Delmas, his friendship with Scheffler transcends the color of his skin, or those historical derogatory words used to describe their differences. Me and Scheffler have a relationship many people do not have, both black and white, Delmas said.
No one else has this relationship.
I look at him like my brother. I love him to death. He greets me. What up, nigga? But I understand it. So I say, what up? What's up, cracker? But we would never take it outside the building, as he said to a reporter.
And you know why? Because it's not okay. That's why.
Ain't that the truth?
And as he said it to CBSSports.com, they would never take it outside the building.
Oh, so now you bring it outside the building?
It's outside the building, bro. I don't know if you heard of this thing called the internet. It's out. I really hope, I can't wait for announcers to have awkward conversations around this in the middle of the season.
Oh, they're not. They're going to avoid
that. And that is a great catch by Tony Scheffler, who also is known as favorably as Dak Cracker from his friend Delmas. Who,
the first one to give him a high five as he comes to the sideline.
No, they're going
to
ignore that. Just like they're ignoring the 18 bitches that were being Rutherford's rape. They're not in the room.
Tony Scheffler is really hugging Riley Cooper for a very long time after the game. It seems to be having a pretty intense conversation. Could be about anything.
You think that white dude wears t-shirts that say my nigga and has an arrow?
Mm-hmm. I like my best friend.
It's actually, he bought a customized Delmas jersey that says my nigga on it, but it has his number and
I'm with this nigga.
I treat Lewis like a little brother. He knows my wife and kids. He calls me white boy and cracker. We both go back and forth and we are both comfortable with each other. I can't say the same with other relationships in the locker room or how other guys will feel about it. So it's a tough dynamic when you are using those type of words. Everybody does not react the same. Invariably, someone will ask why this back and forth between Delmas and Scheffler is okay while Cooper was castigated for his drunken remarks. First of all, can we just admit that there's levels to this shit?
Ain't that the truth? You can't ignore that.
Yeah, but okay. My teammates understand me, Delmas said. They call me nigga all the time. We have a bond that can't be broken, and the minute you let that bond go outside the organization and you use that word outside the building, then you need to look yourself in the mirror and address it.
Wait. Oh, but you don't look inside the building, though?
Can you reread that one more time? Did you start out by saying his teammates use it all the time?
My teammates understand me. They call me nigga all the time. We have a bond that can't be broken.
He's setting us back in life,
man. He letting all white people call him nigga, dog.
They call, son.
This is like,
how do you find out that it's okay to call him nigga? Like, who was the first person? Like, how does that work? Because you can't just approach me and be like, what's up, Jay, my nigga?
Right.
Like, no, that's not going to work.
And the minute you let that bond get outside this organization, you use that word outside this building, then you need to look yourself in the mirror and address it. The way the public blew up the Cooper situation, it should be blown up that way because he needs to learn the lesson. You can't say that. You will never see me going outside the building calling someone a cracker. You can't do that. So to him, it's all with, if it's in the building, it's cool.
Man, this story is so frustrating.
For us, it is a clear distinction. Delma's situation with his teammate is 180 degrees different than Cooper's, where the nuance of those differences are lost on the population at large, both blacks and whites, is another question. We know each other so well that it just comes out, Delma said of the slurs, and when it comes out, we don't take it personal. We love each other to death. But outside here, it is a word that should not be used.
So y'all share wives and things like that too, right? You talk about each other's mamas.
Now, personally, I don't care, honestly. If that's y'all personal relationship, do what the fuck you want to. But it's weird that y'all would go make a news article about it.
I think that's the truth.
At this time. It's weird, but I don't care.
And why are you keeping it hidden?
Yeah. Why? Like, let them call you that all the time. Inside, outside the building, don't matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In front of your wife everywhere. Yeah. Why not?
Pass me the butter, my nigga.
Hey, nigga.
Yeah, I bet you they don't call his wife that.
I bet you he'd be like, hey, nigga, get over here and come to my house. I got some work for you to do.
How's your nigga bitch of a wife doing? Put that nigga bitch on the phone. I want to talk to her.
No. If she answers the phone, he's like, how you doing there, bitch? Put your nigga on the phone.
No, it's cool. I'm real cool with your husband. I can do that. Put them little Nicholas on the phone, man. I got him something for Christmas.
How are you, Nicholas?
Hey, Nicholas. Uncle Tony got you something for Christmas, Nicholas.
Y'all reading already?
Yeah. Now, you know you ain't supposed to be doing that. I got y'all some books, but don't let me catch y'all reading them. Minnesota Timberwolves president Flip Saunders said he fully supports the decision to send first-round draft pick Shabazz Muhammad home from the NBA's rookie transition program due to a rules violation. Muhammad was sent home after bringing a female visitor to his hotel room Tuesday night. Players are required to get approval for guests from program officials. Muhammad also will be fined for the infraction, which was reported by the USA Today. He will have to go through the program again next summer. This nigga got to do the rookie program. He failed. It's the only way to fail, bringing a home.
Muhammad, you can't tell them hoes to beat it just for this period of time.
No hoe control. Me and Justin talked about his lack of hoe control. Well, I remember when we did our draft preview. I was like, I don't feel like this dude has good hoe control.
Man, y'all think we be clowning on the show. We really go deep.
That's some hard
deep in them hoes.
We really, man, listen, they got the wrong people evaluating these players.
Right. Took one look at this brother and said, no hoe control. Next. I wouldn't draft him. Muhammad was chosen 14th by the Timberwolves. The rookie transition program was a 4-day seminar, which is held to help teach young players.
That's all 4 days.
4 days he couldn't go. It's not even not go without hoes. You just got to sign him in. I already know what happened. He was like, hey, let's go by the sign in real quick. I ain't signed in nothing. Come on, man. Just sign in. I don't want to get in trouble. So you scared? You a punk? You gonna go sign in? Well, shit. All right, just come up here with me.
I thought you was Shabazz Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. You supposed to be in the NBA. You gonna sign me in. This ain't college. Mm-hmm. That's how I go.
He wish that bitch signed in now.
Yep.
He gotta pay a fine and go back.
And take the class again.
Could you imagine having to go back to 12th grade? Like, oh,
that's what I'm talking.
Gave your diploma.
Could you imagine getting F for some pussy? Cause he basically failed a whole course for some ass.
No hoe control.
It's not even that. He took the test and passed, and they said, yeah, but
took test and passed.
Everybody in college,
you gotta come back.
Everybody in college has at least this level of hoe control. Everybody in college, like when I was in school and we had to have a sign in, it's like, hey, you got to sign this in.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
It's not even a difficult process.
No, it's not.
It's a clear indicator he needed another year of college.
Mm-hmm.
Before he entered the draft. And maybe that should be what they institute as the rule is your level of hoe control before you enter the NBA. Not necessarily that 1 year of college.
A basic questionnaire. That's all you need.
What should be on the questionnaire?
Hey, if a woman wants to come up to your hotel room, but she refuses to sign in the lobby. Mm-hmm. Do you let her come into the room? Yes or no? You know, if it's 3 o'clock, you're coming into your hotel, you're on the road, you're in Atlanta. Do you go out to Magic City? Yes or no?
It's other simple questions, like if your significant other makes you angry, do you A, leave, mm-hmm. B, tell her to leave, C, break things and argue with her?
Right.
And if it's not telling her ass to get the fuck out because you got hoe control, we need a training course for you. Or you go to college.
You walk in the house and your woman is watching some bullshit on TV. Do you A, ask for the remote? Do you B, demand the remote? Or do you C, go to the other room and watch the little TV?
Add a D to that one. Yo, or D? Does she ask you, honey, what would you like to watch?
Right.
Before you even sit down on the sofa.
Right. That's a simple question, but it can make all the difference. You know?
Karen, you laugh, but this is so serious.
Yeah.
This is so serious.
Speaking of a man who got in trouble about some hoe stuff, Brian Banks made his NFL debut after lengthy imprisonment for being falsely accused of rape. Good for him, man.
I bet you he got a lot of pent-up rage. I wonder how many players going to get hurt after tackles by him.
The most interesting
thing. And their ass grabbed.
The most interesting thing about Brian Banks is that his Twitter is at Brian Banks. Free! Caps lock FREE. He is not fucking around. But yeah, he got to finally play, man. He's 28. He did like 5 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit.
Wow!
Mm-hmm. He was destined for stardom as a standout high school player in 2002. He was set to begin playing for the USC Trojans, but his aspirations came to a screeching halt when a fellow student accused him of rape. Banks lost everything. He spent 5 years in prison. He was ultimately exonerated when the accuser confessed she lied on a hidden camera.
Oh, and you know what? And I know I'm a woman, but when like something is blatant like that, I think, and maybe this is just me, I think he should sue her. Mm-hmm. I mean, for what he lost. I mean, not trying to find me. I mean, look at what he lost, and he can't get that shit back.
She probably don't have any money.
Well, the thing was, she got a lot of money from the school, like a whole lot of money.
Oh,
yeah, because she probably sued.
But that was part of the reason she said she didn't want to tell the truth. Because she was like, well, I got all this money when I got this lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So now if I tell him, I got to give his money back.
Does he get to punch her in the face, like one free punch in the face?
No, I just take that money back.
He gets to actually rape her now.
Right.
Like, you owe me a rape. Now, I'm sorry, but right. I did 5 years for a crime I didn't commit. Now, I don't care who gives it up, but somebody getting raped up in there. Okay. Right.
I wonder how, I'm telling you, when he died, after he tackled people, I wonder if he grabbed butts. Like, you had your pants sagging a little bit.
Yeah, he might. Well, that might make him even more intimidating. He'll definitely make the team. I mean, I don't know what the locker room shower going to be like, but on the field, the other team ain't going to want to go over the middle for sure.
They like Brian Free up right. in here. Don't drop the soap.
He be tackling people. Now, we could do this the easy way.
Yeah. They be like, those rules don't apply out here.
Yeah.
prison rules don't apply in here. It was like, hey, the locker room looked the same.
They were like, hey, everybody pants tight, brother.
He gonna be tackling people and shaking them.
These showers look just like the showers I just came from. There's no wall to separate us, so I don't understand why the rules gotta be different.
When he sack a quarterback, he gonna be like, ranch or jelly?
Oh, Lord.
Ranch or jelly, boy.
We don't got time for this, man. Oh, no, we got time.
I like my jelly gonna make great it, flavored.
You going to make the time.
It's 35 seconds until we hike the ball again. We got time.
According about the game, he said, I was amped up the entire time, all the way until they said the game was over. I'm still amped up going around shaking everyone's hand. It's a dream come true. I'm still fighting for a spot on the team, but I said I would make it to the NFL and play a game, and I did that today. Good for him, man. Real talk.
Yep.
That's a terrible situation. Man, something I would never want to be in. It's one of my biggest fears as a black man, even, is just this idea of presumed guilt when it comes to shit like this. You know, like, you a suspect until proven innocent. And the idea that you literally did not rape someone, but you went to prison.
And this was 2007. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like this was in the '70s when this happened.
Right.
Like, this is recent history.
Just her word against yours. You, the evidence obviously can't be there because you didn't do it, and she admitted as much. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, what evidence did you convict him on when he didn't do it? And if that's the case, how the fuck is Ben Roethlisberger still walking around free?
That's what I want to know.
Hold control.
That's true. Portland Trailblazers Terrell Harris is suspended for violating the NBA anti-drug policy.
I don't think anybody cares except baseball fans.
Yeah, I don't even know what Terrell.
Probably marijuana. Mm-hmm. Like, I only put steroids with people that's like super huge. Mm-hmm. You know, not to say LeBron's on any.
Yeah, I don't know. People were saying like PEDs might come get the NBA at some point too, but I was like, eh, I don't know. They keep catching these skinny ass niggas as people on drugs.
It helped Rashard Lewis how again?
Right. So we'll see.
Not at all.
Rockets Terrence Jones has been arrested in Portland after allegedly stomping on a homeless man's legs.
I mean, wait, no. Why are we laughing?
Was he in
at
the
that?
Way?
Stomping on nuts.
Why are we laughing at that?
Houston Rockets is funny.
Houston Rockets forward Terrence Jones had a rather nondescript rookie season, but after a solid showing in the NBA Summer League in Orlando earlier in July, he and his young Rockets team were probably hoping to make waves heading into the crucial 2013-2014 campaign. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, Jones is off to a very poor start in terms of breaking into public conscience. KATU is reporting that Jones was arrested after allegedly stomping on the leg of a homeless man after leaving a bar in Portland on Wednesday morning. Jones, who is a Portland native, was reported to have been observed by police sergeants in the wee hours as shouting down the homeless man before kicking the victim's legs. While watching the group walk away from the bar, the sergeant observed a man, later identified as Jones, walk by a doorway where two homeless men were sleeping, according to a police spokesman, Sergeant Pete Simpson. The sergeant said Jones yelled, "Wake up!" then raised his leg and stomped down on the man's legs. The men were sleeping in the doorway. The victim, 46-year-old Daniel John Kelleher, received a minor leg injury and did not require immediate medical attention. So, that's crazy, man. Why would he do that?
It's deeper than rap.
He was in the way.
Yeah, he was like, why are you sitting down here? Wake up, homeless people. People think I hate homeless people. I wouldn't hit one.
I know.
No way I'd sully my shoes with the dirt of a homeless man.
I wouldn't get my shoes dirty.
Oh, Lord.
No, thank you.
He definitely had on some Air Force Ones and a crisp white tee.
Now I got to walk around smelling like homeless all day? Mm-mm.
Yeah. I'm confused, too. They called them police sergeants. Why were they out so late on duty? I'm a sergeant. Like, I'm chilling. I got that on first shift.
It sound like them bitch-ass police people that be watching... You know those ones that just watch the bars and try to catch people doing stuff like walking with a beer off the patio and be like, oh, come with us. Mm-hmm. Drunk in public. Like, but I was just one step from the patio. All y'all are acting free.
I actually was going to pick up this litter that was over here on the sideline and throw it away.
You're like, nope, you're going to prison. Oh, and that litter is now on you too. Littering $200. speaking of littering, Heron Hernandez's uncle was killed in a moped accident.
Wow.
That's right. He's still able to get to him even on the outside.
Ah, clear.
Last month.
You're taking out witnesses.
It was cold in that letter, man. We just haven't figured out the code. But
yeah, kill my uncle was on there.
And it probably said something else, but the the education system within the gang society isn't as important as it should be.
Yep. Well, anyway, he dead. Brian Westbrook is dead to me.
No, say it ain't so.
Brian Westbrook,
that's a former Eagle,
is my nigga. But this article I read was one of the most moments of all time, dude. All time. He was giving an interview to FanIQ.com, I guess. It's like NFL fan page or whatever. And they were asking different questions. He's going to retire this year. He's going to officially sign a one-day contract so he can retire as a Philadelphia Eagle. Of course, various former Eagles came out to celebrate their teammates, saying nice things about his nice career, paying homage to... I mean, wait. McNabb is going to sign a one-year contract to retire as an Eagle. So everybody was coming out saying nice stuff. One of the more interesting quotes came from former Eagles running back Brian Westbrook, who compared his relationship with McNabb to that of the six-time NBA championship Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. He said, Jordan had Pippen. I had Donovan McNabb.
Mm-hmm. Excellent comparison. Right on the money.
Bruh, say what?
Excellent. Right, he's right on the money.
No, nigga. No.
That's not correct.
Donovan McNabb constantly had shit. Shit as a quarterback.
Yes, he did. And a terrible ass coach.
Until Westbrook even got there, dude. And the thing is, without McNabb, Westbrook and them wasn't doing shit. And without Westbrook, McNabb still managed to be able to do some things. Like, there was some seasons where Westbrook was hurt and McNabb and them mm-hmm. still did things. Like, it's, oh man, that just, man, why the fuck everybody gotta take a shot at Donovan McNabb? He did everything the right way. He's the dude that everybody says they want all these other people to be. He's fucking quiet. He always has the right quote.
Friendly. Never calls out drama. With people. Yeah.
And to be quite honest, he's one of the most upfront, honest people about race in quarterbacks in sports.
He only threw the ball, man. Westbrook ran the ball.
He threw it to Todd. He played Stinson and James Trash and Fred. Oh, God bless my hands, Mitchell.
Who
that's fucking insane.
Catch a ball for
he
shit.
Played receiver. He ran the ball. He blocked for McNabb. He did it all. He was the Jordan.
He
of
wasn't
the team.
Even there for the entirety of McNabb's career.
He was the Jordan of the team.
Deuce
man.
Staley was the starting fucking team. No, I'm not gonna do this.
He
man.
Was the Jordan of the team.
Your team name is racist, and everybody that likes it is racist too.
Oh, so now we're gonna yes. use the ESPN yes. tactics yes. on the show.
Man, you wore that same shirt last week, Justin. I don't appreciate this. Major League Baseball suspended 13 people, including A-Rod. Duh! Next story. Johnny Manziel is under investigation for autographing shit and supposedly getting paid $7,500, but the NCAA can't track it down because he wasn't stupid enough to put it in his bank account, which really makes you wonder what's wrong with the rest of these athletes. Like, why the fuck are you putting this in anything, dude?
They'd be like, Manziel be like, can you break $1,000?
Right.
I need change for $1,000. Oh, I'll wait. You can go get the stacks. I'll wait.
Yeah, but he's under investigation. You knew this was going to happen. Shit, he was too popular. Things was popping off too much. Yeah.
Well, you said it too. It's Coach Black.
Yeah, and he got a black coach. Like, he knew this was going to happen. It's just going to be another notch that they use to eventually be like, this black man can't control his team. He got him out there signing autographs. What is going wrong with the amateurism of the NCAA?
No, that's how Westbrook feel. Like, he can't get no credit for being Jordan or Philly. Just people consistently hounding him for no reason at all. Putting him down.
Yep. Speaking of,
you want to comment on that?
speaking of putting them down, JJ Redick and his ex girlfriend had an abortion contract.
Lord, how you have an abortion contract?
Apparently, this is why
the Republican.
This maybe? Is why he's a Duke player. Okay, Duke players are soulless human beings that do shit like make women sign over their reproductive rights in order to be with them. Now, that's the negative. The good spin is, this man has the best hoe control I've ever seen in my life. This is amazing. I had no idea. Did you have any idea this dude had this much hoe control?
No, but we should have known when he would go up to West Virginia and all these other places and say what the fuck he want to say to the crowd.
Yeah, this is an unprecedented level of hoe control. Possibly the best ever.
You think he's a Dave Chappelle
best
fan?
Ever.
Yes.
You think he's a Dave Chappelle fan?
He might be.
Because you know, Dave Chappelle had him whole sign the contracts.
Mm-hmm. It says here, this time uncovering a very odd legal document, which was drawn up in 2007 by lawyers representing NBA player JJ Redick. Lawyers, y'all. And his then pregnant ex-girlfriend, model Vanessa Lopez. The document is essentially a contract that seems to be the result of Redick and Lopez negotiating how the latter's impending abortion would be handled.
I mean, it's not that hard to figure it out. The contract says abort.
Redick, it says, number one, termination of pregnancy. Reddick has agreed that once Lopez has terminated said pregnancy and has provided medical proof of said termination satisfactory to Reddick, including but not limited to direct access to Lopez's medical files, record of clinic.
Yeah, he won't be sure you actually went through with it. I don't blame him.
He's not just taking the, I went, got the test done, baby. Mm-mm.
Practice.
Me and my lawyer's gonna watch it.
Record to the clinic, practice, or hospital conducting the termination procedure, and has submitted to a post-pregnancy examination by a doctor of Reddick's choosing.
Damn.
To confirm both the prior pregnancy and its termination. Reddick and Lopez shall attempt to establish and maintain a social and or dating relationship between themselves for a period of 1 year from the date of this agreement, hereinafter, quote unquote, the relationship. In the event that foregoing establishes, god damn, this is crazy, established that Lopez was either not pregnant or did not terminate the pregnancy, Reddick shall have no further obligations hereunder.
Listen.
So you gotta stay together for a year even after the abortion.
Listen. You think when she said, this your pussy JJ, he was like, well, speaking of
reproductive rights laws.
Speaking of my pussy.
Well, technically it
I
is.
I got this contract.
Funny you should bring that up. Yeah, he's like, whose is it? Whose is it? It's yours. Funny you should say that.
Man, we bringing the news before the news brings it to you folks.
Number three, settlement payment. In the event that Reddick decides in his sole discretion that he is unable or unwilling to establish and or maintain the relationship and provides written notice of this decision to Lopez, he shall pay Lopez the sum amount of $25,000.
So he just basically has to send her a note to say we done.
Yeah.
And then with a check with $25,000.
Within 30 days of the delivery of the written notice.
Damn, he treating her room like an office, like an apartment lease. You got to let me know 6 months in advance, you know, if we're going to do this. If not, I need a written notice. If I don't get the note, are there penalties and fines then?
I guess so. In the event Lopez decides in her sole discretion that she is unable or unwilling to establish and or maintain the relationship, she shall provide written notice of this decision to Reddick. Once upon receipt of said written notice, Reddick shall be relieved of any obligation to Lopez for the settlement payment described here and above. Number five, no admission of paternity. The party agrees to the disagreement that Reddick's execution thereof shall not be admissible to prove its putative paternity, which paternity has been denied and does not continue to deny.
Oh, man. That is so crazy.
Yeah, man.
He just busting nuts up inside of him, but like, well, you know the baby not mine though. I don't know who you been seeing.
The contract goes on to make further stipulations, including a confidentiality agreement and a warning that any contract between the two after the relationship has reached its conclusion would be considered stalking. Reddick was a 22-year-old rookie at the time this agreement was drawn up, and Lopez has since gone out on to date and get into legal disputes with other NBA players. Wow, so she's gotten into other guys. She's a professional gold digger.
Yep.
And he must have known it. Nah, bitch, we signing papers.
He the only one not getting caught up in her games.
I just don't know why it's so important for NBA players to fuck these models.
Here's the other thing. I take back what I said about the Clippers picking him up. Excellent pick.
Yep.
I take that back. I was wrong. And I can admit it.
Yep.
I fucked up on it. I wish he'd have came to the Lakers.
The name of this show isn't Rod and Justin are right about everything. The name of the show is Balls Deep. Okay. So when you tell me something like this, I get some new information. I'm cool. LeBron James mistress is exposed according to Bossip. I mean, come on. He's the most famous nigga in the world.
Ain't that
the
truth?
He probably is cheating.
He got everybody trying to get the seed of LeBron and them.
Seriously. Come on. Also, like, this is another case though, like, and maybe I'm kidding myself because I'm just not famous and I don't understand, but I could not see myself fucking with these straight up hoe looking chicks. Like, all of her pictures are hoe pictures. It's her in like lingerie, but out in public when everybody else has full clothes on. Like, I wouldn't fuck with you. There's no way you're going to be discreet.
You taking bathroom selfies at the club.
Yeah, I don't get this shit, man. I'll put it in the chat and you guys can go through all the pictures yourself, but it was like another one of these, like, really, nigga? Like, that's what you had to have? Like, I would have, been like, nope, I can tell right now I'm gonna get caught fucking with you because you don't even know how to wear enough clothes.
Discretion is not in her vocabulary. Yeah.
You're not gonna wear enough clothes.
Like it was like a whole bunch of Twitter and shout out to Twitter. This is another reason niggas gonna have to stop cheating, by the way, because social media.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it doesn't matter if you have an account on social media or not, because they telling and people listening. Her Miss London Monroe says, I saw your man in Toronto with another woman. I researched this hag on Lipstick Alley. She goes by the name of One Apple J on Instagram and Twitter. Someone else said they saw him as well with this woman. You are a beautiful woman. And if King James can't see that and don't appreciate that, then you can do much better. He is dumb to think that these groupies would give him the chance a day if it was not for his money. Think about your son, because Brian is fucking up.
Well, here's the thing, though. Is this after or before he got married? Because he just recently
got married. This was, like, right before he got married.
Oh,
like,
so, he's not doing anything wrong.
Right before the wedding.
He getting pussy.
She was all over Bron too close for someone who was about to get married, and they made everyone who attended the parties to put away their phones, otherwise leave no pics, was allowed. This girl got kicked out for snapping a photo. That's why I didn't get a pic. Also, I saw them leave together. I mean, hey, it may not speak for much. I just thought this girl was too close for comfort. You are an ass. I'm not judging if you see my original post. I was telling her what I saw. If he's doing shit in public, guess what? It's everybody's business because he didn't have the respect to do it behind closed doors.
Is that clothes or
clothes doors?
C-L-O-T-H-E-S. Not C-L-O-S-E-D.
Mm-mm. LeBron need to do his business behind closed.
Well, she needed some more closed doors.
Yeah, behind closed doors. See, that's the thing. This girl wasn't wearing no clothes, so she's right.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is for her to be careful. You people are so stupid. You will go along with anything just because if they was blessed to have each other, he would not have been doing what he was doing in Canada. It is not a rumor, but a fact. I said I was in Toronto at the same hotel where the private party was kept. Sue me for telling her some info that she could use to her advantage, jackass. So people were telling her to shut up and stop snitching and all this shit.
I mean, how could she use to her advantage? I mean, I'm sure she looked at Savon Wade and was like, so they will give the father custody of the kids?
Yeah,
I'm going to sit my ass down and shut up.
It's just crazy because, I mean, I guess you just can't help yourself, man. It's like, my dick is not my friend, right? You can't help but be like, I have to see this chick, booty. Like, she got her titties out. I have to fucking get with her.
And when you
risk everything as the most famous dude on the fucking earth.
Yeah. And when you're in the status as he is, he's not the normal guy. So you have a lot of times the most gorgeous women. Like, you ain't gonna have no average chick. You're gonna have the most gorgeous women putting everything on you.
But these chicks look so reckless. They look like trouble.
Reckless, yeah. They look like trouble. Yeah.
I'm not promoting starting an affair, but if you're going to start an affair, it seems like you would want somebody that's like,
librarian.
Yeah, like she's trying to be
the
biggest, attention getter everywhere she goes.
That's true.
And then you're going to sit up here and be like, oh, I need a discreet jump off.
Nope. And the thing about it is that you need to deal with somebody who got something to lose just like you. Cause a lot of times, you know, he in position as he is, anybody he mess with ain't got nothing to lose. I don't know if that makes sense. So it's like,
in theory, that sounds good. Tony Parker tried it.
Right.
Still didn't work.
Right. Yeah.
He was fucking John Barry, his teammate's wife.
People just gotta cheat, man, I guess.
But here's the other thing though. The common factor in all these guys cheating is Shaq.
Right.
Shaq played with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe goes out and cheat. Yep. Shaq plays with LeBron. All of a sudden, now LeBron got groupies in Toronto.
I don't think Shaq ever played with LeBron, did he? Oh, wait, no, in Cleveland.
Yes.
Yep. And he played with Wade.
Now Wade got to let go of Savon.
And everybody blamed Kobe, but he was right, man. He was right to me.
Shaq, the one comment. I bet you when Shaq was playing with Grant Hill in Phoenix.
Makes sense.
Nah. Grant knew what he had on. Yeah.
Graham was like, you out your goddamn mind. You gotta go.
But Steve Nash?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash, he had him on them hoes.
Hey, man, did you know, speaking of being on them hoes, the Lakers get more nationally televised games than the Heat next season?
Of course. It's the Lakers. Yeah.
And Kobe going to be back.
Perfectly go, man.
I just thought it was funny.
West Side for life.
Lakers going to get 33 games on TV. The Heat are going to get 27.
So. I mean, they the Lakers. Even, I mean, I hate to be that like that, but, you know, people are the Lakers.
Boston probably tied with the Heat with, like, the amount of games that'll be on TV.
Boston probably going down.
And they
down.
Don't even have anybody.
And also, I would rather see the Lakers lose than a lot of other teams win. And I don't mean that on some hateful shit, but they just a much more interesting team. Even this year when they play like shit, I watched their games and had more fun watching them like try to figure out how to win and end up losing than watching like, you know, a Denver team take on like, I don't know, take on the Milwaukee. What I would rather watch the Lakers play the Hornets and lose by three.
Yes.
You know,
chat room is saying that Steve Nash did end up getting a divorce.
Yeah, so that was who got it. That was who got it.
So Shaq is the common denominator in all these teams.
It makes sense. Makes sense to me. Well, you know we got one more segment left. So. La 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 la. Hey Mamba. So. Let's talk about the homie, Kobe Bryant.
This is always the sad part of the show for me.
Because it's about to be the end.
Yes.
The first thing first, Kobe Bryant dapped a dude up in China. Okay? Mm-hmm. He was in China taking a trip. He working so hard on his shit, he could take a trip. Okay? He's like, I'm good, y'all. He dapped a nigga up in China and made this nigga cry.
Oh,
man. Damn, he a G.
Kobe's never even played for a Asian team.
Right.
That's why the Lakers got 30 games, 33, how many games?
Cause I love Kobe Bryant, but there's no way if he dap me up, I break out into tears. This nigga cried, dog. He cried.
And not no, like, not a 6-7-year-old.
No, like a bitch.
Somebody said Kobe has the number one selling jersey in China.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. Let me see if I can play this for y'all. This is crazy. I was like, damn, this nigga made somebody cry.
We simplify the procedure. Okay. All right, back to the Ravenous fans, or more specifically, one fan. One very, very passionate fan in tears after gazing upon Kobe. Like a 15-year-old James Coe.
That's right, guys. This nigga cried, y'all. Yeah, I'm putting the video in the chat. Don't worry about that. That nigga cried, dog. That is the best shit ever. That's why he the best, dog. Ain't nobody crying when LeBron James dap him up. People don't even cry when Michael Jordan dap him up.
They're actually angry when Jordan
dap him up.
This nigga cried cause some Kobe Bryant dapped his ass up. He started crying in front of the news. He knew he was on camera, y'all. They was like, how you feel after that? And he was like,
he started out trying to speak English.
So good.
It didn't work.
I got to play a little bit more of this crying. Hold up. Oh, the best part about this, clearly like his little brother was with him. Susie started crying. His little brother walked away.
Yeah. Like, I cannot support this.
Yeah.
Man, Kobe is the GOAT, man.
His little brother was like, hey, man, this ain't got shit to do with me. All
right,
y'all.
And he's better than Jordan right now.
And he's better than Jordan right now. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Speaking of which, Kobe Bryant on track to recover from that Achilles injury. The fastest ever, y'all.
I believe that.
Ironically, feels like somebody said that this was possible. Somebody on this show.
Ironically, I don't want him to come back so soon.
Dog, there is no chill in Kobe Bryant.
It's not, but I want him to take, like, bro, get you another month rest.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, get you another
basketball is his life.
Just one more month of rest. Like, even like I hadn't played ball in a week and a half. And it's like the rest actually is feeling good.
You know what I was thinking the other day?
Kobe don't rest.
The word chill has none of the letters from Kobe Bryant. None of the letters, because he doesn't do chill, dude. Kobe Bryant has been caught between calling himself ahead of schedule while also tempering expectations regarding recovery timetable for his torn Achilles. The Los Angeles Lakers guard has been more bold this week and told a group of reporters during a visit to China that he shattered the timetable. Bryant underwent surgery for the injury April 13th, and all along he's pinned a return somewhere in November or December. He divulged a recovery that usually puts players out of action for 9 to 12 months might be cut down thanks to a new procedure. "We don't know," Bryant told the gathered reporters. "That's the thing about this injury, is that his surgical procedure was different. How we did it was different. Because of that, recovery has been different. The timetable has been different. The normal timetable for recovery from an Achilles, we've shattered that. 3.5 months, I can already walk just fine. I'm lifting weights just fine. So we don't know what that timetable is going to be. This is new territory for us all." So, man,
you know what? Kobe told the doctors what type of surgery he wanted to have. Mm-hmm. Like, he went and looked it up, read, like, oh, this works.
Yeah, that, he got enough work for the best doctors this, in the world. Yeah.
He came up with a plan and said, "Listen, this is how I want my surgery to go. This is how I want you guys to do it. All right? Mm-hmm. Don't make me wake up and whoop your ass for doing it wrong."
I think he woke up halfway through the surgery and said, "No, over there, fool," and then went back to sleep. It's like, no. And then also, man, like, he's Kobe, man. Of course he's going to maximize the amount of time that he can come back, man. You know, and I'm not, and this isn't him being crazy and being like, "I'm ready to play." He's like, "I still got a long way to go, but I'm ahead of schedule. Like, I'm already walking. Most people ain't even walking by this point."
Lifting weights.
Yeah, they said February of next year. Right. If then, they said he potentially the entire season. Mm-hmm. February was early.
That's crazy, man. Look at this. Look at him. Just
look at you on
so great,
the Kobe system, man.
He's so great, man. You know,
he said thank you in this commercial.
So he'll be 35 by the time the season starts, you know, but he'll be fine. It sounds like he's going to be able to come back, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Kobe Bryant. Thank you for being miraculous.
Kobe is the rock.
Oh, in your shoe. And I also forgot to forgot to bring this up, but it's because it doesn't matter. The NFL has new anti-celebration rules. Don't believe the hype, y'all. It's basically you can't taunt people, which was already a rule. But if you score a touchdown, you pretty much can do any celebration you want. And then honestly, they got rid of a bunch of annoying shit that was getting on my nerves.
Okay.
Which is the niggas doing sack dances after like, second and 10 in the first quarter.
Okay. Yeah. That you bullshit.
Know? Like, I don't care about that shit. Spinning the ball after you make a catch for 2nd and 4. Stop. You know, but most of the shit is, it ain't going to change anything. You can still celebrate. Most of the ways you could celebrate before.
Yeah, because they celebrated, and you've been watching the preseason game.
Yeah.
They've been celebrating at the tackles.
Also, I haven't seen one of those penalties for lowering your helmet as a running back yet.
Yep.
So I think the NFL does the same thing that David Stern does, where it's like, get you all upset over some bullshit, and then you go find out that it don't matter. It's like, yeah, we're going to switch the ball, y'all. But why? I'll just fuck with y'all. We're going to switch it back.
Yeah. Who is this ass clown, though, on the screen doing the discount double check?
That looks like Triple H, and I would never call that man an ass clown.
Nah, he an ass clown.
Okay, good luck with that, bro. All right, it's been another episode of Balls Deep, man. We'll be back, probably next week, possibly, maybe 2 weeks. We're taking a week off this next week coming up, but, you know. Premium people, be on the lookout. You might get a little email update that says we're doing the show. So until then, signing out for Rod, Justin, and Karen. Y'all have a good one. We'll talk to y'all later. Peace.